This Sports Center is brought to you by Greenlight Dispensary. Make sure to check out the monthly Underground event this Friday and Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. The Underground at Greenlight Independence is Missouri's first and largest medical marijuana farmers market. That's at Greenlight Dispensary's Independence location at 3721A South Noland Road, Independence, Missouri, 64055. Tomorrow at noon, the Chiefs play their first preseason game of the year, going up against the Chicago Bears for Game 1. Yesterday, Andy Reid said each quarterback would get a quarter, but he's been quicker to pull Patrick Mahomes in the past. The Royals won again yesterday, moving to 5-1 in their last six games. Daniel Lynch on the bump today as the Royals host the Los Angeles Dodgers for a three-game series rolling over the weekend. Both Sporting and Current in action. Tomorrow night, you'll be able to hear Sporting on 810 at 8 p.m. I'm Joshua Briscoe. This is SportsCenter.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Tyreek's fast, Mikko's fast, but I will be faster.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Punters don't have entourages.
Thank you to Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, hanging out with us, talking some Chiefs as they get underway tomorrow.
24 hours from now.
Chiefs and Bears.
24 hours from now, there will be a football kicked into the air.
Sundays in the snow.
Either by Harrison Butker or received by Isaiah Pacheco.
Referee whistle blow. Weekend Warriors toe-to-toe.
I know it's only going to last a quarter, but I have a low level of football excitement bubbling up right now.
Football.
I feel a little bit of it.
You've never seen that movie, and that's fine. Don't worry about it. 913-912-4810 is the text line to join us to be a part of the show.
I think my new angle might just be to not acknowledge references that you make that I don't know. I'll just let you do them for the people that do get them, and then I'll just, then ignorance is bliss on my side.
A lot of people got that reference.
Good.
A lot of people were singing along with me.
I didn't get it.
You didn't get it? Don't worry about it.
I don't think I got it.
Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You know what? That reference wasn't for you, Beards. Okay? It wasn't for your generation.
Do you want to tell us what it's from here, Boo?
Nope. Okay. Go figure it out. Go look it up. Sundays in the snow. Referee whistle blow. Weekend Warriors toe-to-toe.
Football. It's an LL Cool J song, huh?
It is not. It's from a movie. Okay. So.
Well, Genius has it as an LL Cool J song called Football Rap.
Nah. I know it from a movie. Daniel Lynch on the mound tonight for the Royals, 7-10, as the Royals and Dodgers. But I'll tell you what, they win the series this weekend, and they are starting to cook with some grease. It's, you know, I get it, the Red Sox are a little bit under 500, and the White Sox aren't exactly murderer's row. But by the way, the White Sox are only three games out, right? Aren't they only three games out of first place? So their season is, like, they're not just simply mailing it in. Yeah, they're 3.5 games back of the White Sox. After losing 3 of 4 to the Royals, they are 3.5 games back. This was not a series of the White Sox going, well, our season is kind of lost. We should fire Tony La Russa, which, you know, they might do anyway. But that's not a White Sox team that is just, oh, well, you know, we thought we were going to be able to make the playoffs and be the best team in the Central, but not happening. No, they took 3 of 4 from them. Red Sox, yeah, you can say struggles and looking ahead to the next few years that they are not going to catch the Yankees or the, they're 4.5 games out of the wild card. So, I mean, they're still in it, I guess. Wild card, they're still there. But odds are, with their team, compared to the other teams in front of them, that may not be that team. The last eight games, since they won 3 of 4, both four-game series they won are against teams that are 3 games out of the wild card and 4.5 games out of the wild card. They were not playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay? That's all.
We're going to do the thing at the end of this year where we say, boy, if the Royals just would have started a little better, they would have been right there, which is true. If they just, they would have been. But those games do still count, unfortunately. So that's kind of a part of the picture still. But we're gonna end up there. They're gonna end this season. They're 13 games out right now. I go, man, if they just wouldn't have lost, what was their worst stretch? They had a 2-7 stretch in there or something like that. If they could have played 500 baseball in that first month of the season, we'd be talking about playoffs right now.
That's right. If they just would have.
And if I just would have been 7 inches taller, I could have played college basketball.
And if my grandmother had a set, she would be my grandfather. But she is not, and they did not. And now we'll see what they do the rest of the way. And that's really all we have to go off of. And thank you to the texters that recognize it was Wildcats is from the movie with Goldie Hawn. Say, football.
I'm glad you have the texters.
Well, I'm glad they got it.
Yeah, no,
glad they recognized it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm glad that you have again, people that will validate you.
I
fall short.
I wasn't pitching to your generation.
Exactly.
Okay, that was an intentional walk for you guys, just to slide over to throw to the next one.
Yep. I'm gonna just start taking the walks now, and then hopefully you get the validation you need from the texters who do know all of the movies that you reference, and I'll just be over here, you know, watching Twitch or whatever.
Texas. They never look good until they're out of contention, except for 14 and 15, of course.
Yep.
I mean, that is a story as old as time with the Royals, and unfortunately with Dayton Moore's Royals, is that when they're out of it, come late August and into September, it's like, boy, they finished 30 and 30. That's going to carry over into next year. No, it's going to carry over into next August. That's what it's going to carry over into, is when you get to late August and September, boy, wait till these guys start playing. Wait till Mondesi gets hot. Because then that's going to just tease you a little bit. It's like, oh, hey, it's a third date. He's been kind of talking about what the third date is. Oh, sorry. Rain check on the third date. Couldn't make it. Thanks.
Is there
Raul/Adalberto?
Is there any professional athlete, at least for a team that you ostensibly root for or cover or whatever, so not an opponent, but is there a home team athlete who has ever made more veins in your forehead pop out for you personally?
Well, see, no, but honestly, Mondesi doesn't do that for me. I want Mondesi. Like, I don't hate Mondesi. Sure. My issue is with, at some point, the Royals need to make a decision on who their guy is moving forward. Right. Last year, during the summer, when they were having Bobby Witt play third base because they had Mondesi at short, my view was move Adalberto Mondesi. It's not against Adalberto Mondesi. He is who he is. He's going to get injured. He's going to be awesome at times. He's going to be bad at times. They have presented him as he's got every tool in the toolbox and he's one of the most talented players in all of baseball. And he's going to figure it out and he's going to be a vital part of this team that's going to go and make the playoffs again. That hasn't been the case. And maybe it's been just completely cut off because of his injuries. But I think Curtis Siebold also made a pretty good point and said, you know, you can make a case that the only reason he's still with the Royals is because of the injuries. Because had he not been injured and played consistently like he has played when he's not been injured, he wouldn't still be on the team because they would go, just can't put it together.
Right.
Just not consistent enough. Let's move on. But he's tantalizing and he'll give you like 3 weeks of amazing baseball and then get injured. And then he'll give you like 3 weeks of, good God, this guy is lost. But here's the 2 weeks of, oh my God, he's amazing, and then get injured. And it's always the, ooh, what could be? You gotta hope, because if he gets right, it's a complete, and we don't want him to do that on a different team.
Yeah.
We don't want to see him doing that on a different team. So it was a great point by Curtis when people are going, well, it's, Mondesi's injuries is, keeping him from really seeing what he could be. And his point, no, his injuries are the reason he's still on the team. And that both of those things could be true, just depending on what sort of player he would have been if he didn't go through and have all these injuries. So it is nothing against him, just like it's nothing against Ryan O'Hearn when my issue was, why are they continuing to play Ryan O'Hearn? And not, they got Vinny Pasquantino down in the minors and Ryan O'Hearn is getting these consistent at-bats. What is the deal right now? That wasn't against Ryan O'Hearn. That was the front office and Mike Matheny. And, again, they had a healthy Edward Olivares, and they were still playing Ryan O'Hearn until finally Edward Olivares played, and he was freaking mashing. Like, oh, maybe we should play this guy more often. You think? So my issue was with them, not the player. So it hasn't really been making, Matt Cassel probably did that. Like, Matt Cassel, the player, was the one that was like making the, because I'm like, God, this guy's making so much money. It just isn't it. He's just not it. There's nothing we could do. I don't know what other players. Like, I'd have to sit back and think of the ones that really just sort of got under my skin, and it was more about their play rather than they were the representative of a They were the symptom of a bigger disease.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at the symptom. I'm more mad at the disease. It's just the symptom is what you're taking it out on. Like, damn, this cough.
Recency bias is going to really give, I think when you look over the text line, I think you're going to get a long thread of Dan Sorensen's.
Oh, geez.
But that's a similar deal. Like, whenever he was put in a specific role for a long time, for years in Kansas City, he was a cult hero. And then you ask him to do too much, and he ages, and that happens. I think if you bleeped out the name Mondesi and you made people guess some of the baseball words would give it away, I guess. But, man, there's some Sammy Watkins juice on that, you know, of just like, boy. And to your point, Curtis's point, whatever, we have more evidence of Sammy Watkins being really good at his job more recently than we do Mondesi. But some of that thought of, man, when he's out there, things are different. This team is different when he's on the field. But can you trust him to be on the field? You certainly can't rely on him to be on the field. Now, which one of those guys am I talking about? I don't even know anymore. Everything I just said could have been true for Sammy Watkins or for Adalberto Mondesi. The difference is, to keep Sammy Watkins, it would have cost you more against the salary cap, which is why I think my patience on Mondesi at this point is maybe I might be more patient with him than anybody else anywhere in Kansas City, because trading him for a fart in the wind is not, that doesn't do me any good.
It wouldn't make sense to do that anyway, because you get nothing back.
Exactly.
The smell. And you can't even smell it because it's in the wind.
Which would be better if it was a fart, right? You'd rather not smell the fart.
Yeah, but then what are you really getting? So you're not getting anything back.
Exactly.
You're just getting a breeze.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, okay, that's right. That's what I'm saying. So you trade Mondesi for nothing. Okay. It's not really that. It doesn't really benefit you in any real way. And he's not taking at bats for anybody else. If at some point J.J. Piccolo says that they're planning on him starting at shortstop opening day and then roughly 161 more times after that, I will change my tone. But that won't be Mondesi's fault. That would be the Royals' fault. To your point from a second ago.
So the Watkins thing is interesting with a big difference. And I know you're not comparing it apples to apples. You said there's a tinge of it. There's
a similar feeling, I bet people have.
Right. Because Watkins was 3 years. This is going on 7 years. Yeah. 7 years in October since he was put on the World Series roster.
And a high-priced free agent acquisition comes with some other baggage. But for Mondesi, it's been a much longer period of time.
7 years. He was put on the World Series roster in 15. 7 years. Longer than that, we've been hearing about Mondesi being the next great guy. That's why he was put on the World Series roster over Whit Merrifield. Sammy was for 3 years. Like, get it? Like, boy, if he could just stay healthy, how good he can be. That was frustration with 3 years. This is 8 years, 9 years we've been hearing about Mondesi being one of the best players in all of baseball.
Specifically in Kansas City. For Watkins, it had carried him throughout his
career.
But just for Kansas City,
that's
still, that's true.
Yeah. Well, it was Watkins' entire career, really.
Right.
You're right.
And it is bonkers to think that Mondesi was on the World Series roster and Whit Merrifield wasn't. Like, not even as a choice made at the time. With what they needed there and everything, I'm not a critique, but just, like, thinking about the eras of Royals baseball, that one's kind of a funny one. That feels like a trivia question in the future.
Well, you know what? They wanted to make sure that this guy that they said is one of the best players in all of baseball was going to win a World Series with the Royals. I guarantee you,
boom,
Adalberto Mondesi is going to win a World Series with the Royals.
Done.
Now, he did it in his debut, but he's got a freaking ring. That's not,
still shines.
It's not a World Series ring.
No, it's just the only one I had on my left hand.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to pick up your hand if that was an actual World Series ring.
I'd be willing to try, though. If somebody wants to bring me one, let me keep it.
Yeah, I got to wear Dustin Colquitt's Super Bowl ring at the Valley Llama at the Chicken and Pickle. That was pretty awesome for him to allow me to do that. And my goodness, how amazing that thing is. Just, you know, Greg Gurley was there and he was showing a picture of his Final Four ring that he got back in the early 90s. I'm like, hey, this was my ring.
It looked like it came out of a vending machine.
That's
probably.
Right. Yes, okay. I got it out of a Cracker Jack box. It's it looks like, you know, kind of a regular ring, you know, just with the Jayhawk logo and a couple of other little things to it. And then you've got Dustin Colquitt that looks like a ring pop that the kids have.
Right.
You know, it's like, how do you wear that thing? Oh yeah, you don't.
Right. That's the thing, is I feel like Gurley probably can, you know, just wear that all the time if he wants. If you've got a more understated sort of old school championship ring, if your hand suddenly becomes worth, I'm just shooting in the dark, but I like, what, $15,000 or something? Mm-hmm. Is that unreal? That feels about right for what I think the Chiefs one was. I I lose stuff too much. Like, I'm not a serial stuff loser.
You do.
But
I don't even know you, and I assumed that.
No, that makes sense. I've gotten better at that, but, like, I don't buy expensive sunglasses because I assume eventually I'll lose them or sit on them or something. I don't want to have something that, if I lose, is, like, I have to call the police, you know? It's like, excuse me, everybody, alert, alert, alert.
Somebody stole my Oakleys.
Right. I mean, if that happens, that's not great. If it's a $10,000 ring of some sort, I just feel like I would always be very, very aware of that.
I was just like you in that I never spent money on sunglasses because I always assumed they would break or I would lose them. But about 4 years ago, shoot, might have been five, got some Bolli sunglasses. Bolli? Isn't that how you pronounce it? B-O-L-L-E?
I don't know.
Right? I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
That's it.
I've not heard of the brand.
Really?
I don't think
local?
So.
Come on.
Bolli, if it's got Bolli. the little accent mark.
Come on,
on
man.
It.
Don't trust me in pronunciations. I just know.
Yeah. I'm engaged to a person named Renee, so I learned the accent.
I just know I love them, and they're awesome, and they're expensive, and I still have them, and they are in, knock on wood, fantastic shape, mainly because I know that they aren't just sort of a random pair of sunglasses I picked up at random insert store here that I tried on in the little mirror that I was like, no, these are, they've got the reflective sun thingy to where you put I don't even know what it's called, because I don't buy sunglasses for
right.
a living. You know?
And ideally you buy them once every 10 years.
Right. But before that, I had bought just random sunglasses that I would then lose or break. These are going on 5 years, and they are in almost the exact same condition as when I got them.
It was a real big turnaround for me whenever I finally bought one of those little sun visor clips that you can put your sunglasses into. I lose them significantly less now. But for a while, the two pairs of sunglasses like as a teen that I remember really working through for a long time was a pair that I bought for $5 at a vendor in Philadelphia, I think, just like on the street. And then I had a pair of aviators for quite a while that I found in a parking lot.
Really?
They were nice. I enjoyed them.
Good for you.
I find the value, I guess. Now Amazon exists, but yeah. You know, some of them aren't quite what they look like. You can't trust Amazon for sunglasses.
I've never owned a pair of Oakleys because they have never looked good on me. I cannot pull off the Patrick Mahomes full-on reflective Oakleys that I think look badass.
Yeah.
I am not making fun of the look. I think they look awesome, and young kids in baseball, they're wearing them, and I think it looks cool. I've never been able to pull that off, so I, you know, just stick with the regular sunglasses I have.
It's a big swing. My cousin was in town last weekend. He's a little younger than me, but he's a baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the Oakleys, set them on the counter at one point. I put them on and asked Renee if I should also get some Oakleys, literally as a joke, because I knew the baseball sunglass style like that, I just knew was not going to work for me. And then the expression and answer that Renee gave in return made me think that she agreed with that point.
Yeah.
So I tend to lean aviators or like kind of a Ray-Ban style, but I've never actually gone for the name brand Ray-Ban. So I need to figure out if I want to make that jump at some point.
The word I was looking for is polarized. So thank you to the texters.
Polarized.
The polarized sunglasses makes all the difference in the world.
It's huge, it's for amazing. Sunglasses and our audience. There's a high polarization factor.
Absolutely, because they hear it and they're going, it's very polarized on talking sports and getting to the point, or just, hey, keep this as an enjoyable conversation to some. You never really know. 913-912-4810.
These glasses are pretty cool, man.
That's right. So we asked Matt Derrick. We'll ask Mick Schaefer what we want to see from the Chiefs tomorrow against the Bears. But I wanted to bring up at NFL.com, you know, Adam Schein, who is a contributing columnist at NFL.com, covering the NFL. He's the one that had the take that Justin Herbert has had the best start to any NFL career in the history of quarterbacks.
Do you want me to lightly defend that take really quick? Or
no, it's fine.
Okay.
You don't have to, because I do want to remind you Kurt Warner exists.
That's so true. I thought it was going to be a Patrick Mahomes angle, and I was like,
no, Kurt Warner.
Because Mahomes didn't play as first. I get it. Yeah, no, I Kurt think Warner. It's wrong, but Kurt Warner, yeah, okay.
Kurt Warner exists and had multiple MVPs and led the league in touchdowns and completion percentage and yards for a number of years. So anyway,
doesn't sound right.
He put out the shine nine that he likes to do, and the nine
silly
top offenses in 2022.
Could have just been a top 10 list.
That does, 10 doesn't rhyme with
I know,
shine.
I know, it's just so...
The shine 10.
It's just so so transparent. It's like, hey, man, how do you want to do this? I don't know, what rhymes with shine? Cool, I'll do nine of them, I guess. I don't know.
Pat 40 does the 40-yard dash.
See, that one's impeccable, though. Yeah. There's at least a connection to... Yeah, I love it. I love the shine 9. Tell me about the shine 9.
So the shine 9 that he has are the top 9 offenses in 2022, what his prediction and his projection is. And these are not, like, bold prediction.
Mm-hmm.
These are the offenses that I think at the end of the year, this is what the ranking is going to be. Number one, Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Pretty popular pick.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Number two, Chargers.
I get it.
Number three, Rams.
Sure.
Number four, Raiders. Number five.
No. I'm just making
number
noises.
Five, mm-hmm. Bengals. Mm-hmm. Number six, Bucks. Number seven, Vikings.
Okay.
Number eight,
I need to go.
Chiefs.
Okay.
Number nine, Broncos. So all four AFC West teams in the top of the Shine Nine, including the Vegas Raiders being number four, and he starts off and says, my only fear is that I put the Raiders too low.
I love it. I love it, man. You got the Shine Nine. You got it. You got to have a take like that.
He says, color me obsessed. Devontae Adams is the best receiver in the league. His relocation to Vegas changes everything. There's no projection necessary in terms of his chemistry with Derek Carr. They're best friends who starred together at Fresno State. Adams wanted to be with Carr. With Adams and new head coach offensive guru Josh McDaniels joining the Raiders, Carr is able to enjoy the finest year of a vastly underrated career. Shoot, I think he eclipses 5,000 yards passing. Not only does he have the league's best wideout, but also a slot receiver, Hunter Renfrow, and tight end Darren Waller, who are among the elites at their respective positions. Running back Josh Jacobs is in a prove-it year with free agency right around the corner. The big question with the offense, will the O-line hold up its end of the bargain? By the way, that is, yes, a big question. And by the way, they are one of the worst offensive lines in all of football. It is not that their offensive line is just average and not that good. Their offensive line is one of the worst in football. When you say, well, the big question is, will the offensive line hold up there into the bargain? That's a pretty big freaking question. It's not like the big question is, who is their number two receiver? Mm-hmm. It's, will the five guys that can open up lanes for Josh Jacobs and protect Derek Carr and the first round draft pick Alex Leatherwood, who has been a disaster for the Raiders, and after Colton Miller, will they be good enough? That's a big ol' if with a very bad offensive line. And he writes about the Chiefs, and I know that it's like, well, it's the Chiefs, so let's complain about it.
What, real quick, before you get to the
yeah,
Chiefs,
go ahead.
Can
go
I
ahead.
Just say something
please.
About the Raiders?
Yes, please say something. You think they're number two. You think they're too low, just like Adam Schein.
I kind of agree with him on a bunch of that.
Well, outside of the offensive line, right.
Right.
I'm with you.
Okay. I just am whispering because I think this is a scary thing to say out loud. But it really might be, I'm off the top of my head, but it really might be the most impressive collection of skill position players in the league right now. There's at least a case to be made.
But here's,
I think the Raiders offense is low-key kind of good.
I think they are too.
This, I guess, isn't low-key anymore.
Right, I think they are too. But point being, I'm not sure you can put them number four and say, I feel like they are too low, and say the big question is the offensive line, which is one of the worst in football.
Yeah, but like...
How many top five offenses in the NFL have one of the worst offensive lines?
The Rams right now have a quarterback whose elbow is exploding. Like, they're like the Chargers at two, they're doing this with a quarterback who still hasn't actually proven a whole lot. The Bills are at number one because of a quarterback that like 3 years ago nobody thought could play. So I think you can find a big question anywhere because it's hard to be perfect in the NFL.
Well, I think you've seen Stafford. He's won a Super Bowl. Yes, there's a question about his elbow, but you've seen him do it if health... The Chargers have also done it offensively and Justin Herbert has been pretty good. And oh, by the way, their offensive line is pretty good too.
Should the Bucs be lower? Because their offensive line right now is also
starting to become a disaster.
It's a huge question. I trust Tom Brady to manage that more than I do Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing with the Raiders is even with all of these offensive line questions, they were a different football team with Henry Ruggs. And then his stuff happened, and that offense got constipated. And Devontae Adams is going to change things there. So I think you can say the biggest question is the offensive line and still be pretty high on them because they need competence from the offensive line. They don't even need it to be elite or impossibly unbeatable. If they can have a competent offensive line, I think they could be a top five offense. There's no lock there, but you're going to find questions every... I got questions about the Bengals the whole way down. I got questions about the Bucs. I got questions about the Chiefs. I have a lot of questions about the Vikings.
Yeah, there's questions all over the place. The only thing about the Vikings is you would say, okay, well, Kevin O'Connell is different from, Mike Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be able to tap into the Dalvin Cook and the Jefferson and Kirk Cousins more than what a Mike Zimmer was going to do as a defensive guy. So you're projecting on the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And something you haven't seen in what you think that offense could be with the Vikings based on a new head coach. ESPN has the Raiders offensive line in the low 20s. Pro Football Focus has the Raiders offensive line ranked 30th heading into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, like you said, if they end up 14th, 15th, 16th, something like that, yeah, it is a pretty legit offense. Okay, yes. But that's like if they end up middle of the pack when they are considered one of the worst in the league, yeah. But again, their offense is going to be fine. The only beef is that, number four and then saying, I worry I put them too low. Like, you think the Raiders are going to have a top three offense? And maybe I will be eating crow this season and saying that the Raiders have the number one offense in the league, and they nailed it. Adam Schein was absolutely right. Here's what he writes about the Chiefs. Number eight, too low, too high. I had to include the Chiefs on the list because, well, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. It'd be insane to not expect a potent offense with number 15 at the helm. Not to mention the offensive brain trust of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy is second to none. Now, Tyreek Hill isn't walking through the door. Cheetah has a profound effect on opposing defenses, and he's irreplaceable as a home run hitter. Kansas City's run game is suspect at best. Those are the concerns. However, Casey still has Travis Kelce, the best tight end in football. And the receiving core overall is solid, with MVS, Juju Smith-Schuster, and rookie Sky Moore coming aboard. Definitely a group the generationally talented quarterback can score points with. I just want to point out, yes, losing Tyreek Hill is different. It will be this year. We'll see what they end up looking like. I just want to point this out in terms of rankings. Because he's using points and yards. So he's like, here's what the points and the yards, where they ranked last year in points and yards. Not DVOA or
not
efficiency.
Not a very rich stat.
Right, exactly. So this is just basing, I think these are the best offenses. Here's where they were last year in points. Here's where they were in total yards. And so if we're, real quick, go ahead.
Honestly, I think there's a real chance that Adam Schein did not even put that in there just based on how the article is formatted. It's just like a little note of here was where they were in 2021.
Okay. Well, if with that being the case, in the 4 years with Patrick Mahomes, points and yards would be, obviously two categories per year. So that's eight different categories that they would have a ranking. The lowest category, the lowest ranking in any of those was sixth. Now, they were sixth in points in 2020 and sixth in yards in 2019. But the other rankings are first, third, fourth, fifth in points/yards over the 4 years. That's all. I'm just saying, the history is there on the Chiefs' side. And they weren't ranked there specifically because of Tyreek Hill. He is a big part of it. Nobody disagrees. But if we're going to look at what the Vikings could be, having never seen what O'Connell can do with them, what the Raiders could be, knowing that their offensive line is at best suspect, then it's interesting to look at the Chiefs, who have a much better offensive line, a better quarterback, a better tight end, and they don't have Devontae Adams, obviously. Do they have a better overall wide receiver room? Well, without Devontae Adams, no. But Are they closer to that than the offensive line and Derek Carr and tight end is to the Chiefs? The answer is yes. And there's history in what we've seen from the Chiefs. There's an unknown with the Raiders and Devontae Adams and a crappy offensive line. That's all. You know, just there are a lot of things that people put out lists and I'm like, ah, don't really need to argue with that. Not a big deal. But that one, I'm just like, I think we're getting a little too excited about some things. And it's the typical look for reasons to discount said team over here.
Right.
While also enjoying the excitement of what is the unknown. In 2018 and 19, it was all about Patrick Mahomes. People loved Patrick Mahomes. He burst onto the scene. This guy was amazing and generational. Now, people find ways to make fun. Find ways to downgrade, right? Well, because we've already built him up. Now we need to point out that he's not as great as everybody makes him out to be, okay? Well, right, but making him out to be was all of us doing that.
I think about how people talked about Russell Wilson over the last couple of years versus this offseason.
Yeah.
Is he washed? Where is it? Can he still carry a team? Go to a new team. Russell Wilson's going to turn the Broncos around. Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Is he a different player right now? Or is he he's the same guy, just a new team? All right, we need something to talk.
Exactly right.
How that works sometimes.
Yes. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us. We got the cuts before the show is over. Get into a number of other things, some Royal stuff, some Chiefs stuff as well. The 100-year celebration last night was a lot of fun. A takeaway that has a Chiefs connection from last night's, was it Ravens and Titans, not Patriots, but Ravens and Titans game that has a pseudo-Chiefs connection with that. We'll get into all of those things. And, you know, there's a celebrity soccer game with media members coming up at the current game next Friday. And there is now one talk show host here who is quite offended. We'll get into that as well. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I had a buddy that said stuff wrong all the time, and it was like a daily thing.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, and Josh Briscoe and Beards. And now Mick Schaefer. Who is hanging out with us is Mick Schaefer, brought to you by Kona Big Wave. Take a little break and single task tonight with a Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company. There was no single tasking last night at the celebration as Mick Schaefer was there.
Single tasking, double fisting.
I mean,
excuse me?
Well, there was
drinks.
I mean, whatever you are doing after the show, it's up to you. We don't need to bring that on air, sir. But you were walking around, you were having conversations, and you were working at the same time. I mean, ridiculous.
That's right. I was multitasking last night. It was good. I was done at 6:30, right? I had done...
That's typically when you're done at night, right?
No. It's when I start my split shift.
Split shift. That's right. When you can go home and eat with the family.
But I was off the clock after the... Got a live interview. Got Lance Leipold on.
Nice.
Great guy. He's taller than I thought.
Yeah?
He's taller
That's your takeaway?
Yeah.
Talk to Lance Leipold about KU football. Taller.
Taller.
Than I expected. What about the football team? Not sure, but
we did not get that far. We talked about his height. I'm like, have you always been tall?
Talking 6'2", 6'4".
He's probably 6'2", 6'3".
Okay.
Yeah. Have you always been tall? Yes.
Came out of the womb this tall. Walked
well,
out.
I'll be honest. I was 5'11 when I came out of the womb, so I haven't always been this tall, but close to it.
Off the clock and in it to win it after that.
Yeah, you were.
That was a good time.
I enjoyed myself. I know that you really enjoyed yourself last night.
I'm
so
good at enjoying myself. Eh? That's going to be a marked too.
Beards, wake up!
I started the show with a voice that was actually a little worse than this. I don't know how it's gotten better over the show.
I've been making... that's so, the sound I've been making most of the morning.
Started the show like, as you can tell, I had a terrible time last night. Just did not...
All you drank
was
water.
A log. Just a wallflower over there, just sitting, doing nothing, man.
I didn't
quiet
eat.
Quiet as a church
so
mouse.
One of the poor decisions.
You didn't eat?
No.
Do they have Garozos there? Are you kidding me, man?
No, I met Garozo.
Yeah?
Yes.
I didn't.
So did Jason.
I did not meet Garozo, but apparently Brian Haney met Garozo in my stead.
True story, apparently. I mean,
meaning he called Brian Jason Anderson?
Brian and his lovely date that he had, so there is a witness to it. Brian Haney was like, dude, come here, towards the end of the night. He goes, I'm glad she was next to me because you would think I'm lying to you because we always joke about being twins. He said 15 minutes ago, Michael Garozo walks up and goes, Jason Anderson, I love your show. I listen all the time. I got to get you into the restaurant. Love what... It's like, actually, Brian Haney. Like, I'm like, one, that is amazing. Two, damn, I wish it would have actually been me. That I was. Yeah. I've never met him. I want to meet him. And now that I know that, you know, he's one of the rare people that like the show, I mean, there's a few of us kindred spirits out there, you know? There was very few of us like-minded individuals. I want to meet him. That's awesome. Damn you, Brian. Quit stealing the shine there, buddy. But it's great. It's like... My bad.
You I have thought about that before, but yeah, there's some resemblance mm-hmm. there.
I didn't. My wife doesn't
significant.
Think there's. My wife doesn't think there's. We met him, and you know she had met him before, right? And she was like, I don't see how people say you guys look alike. She's like, I just don't see it. He is so much better looking than you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I wish I was married to him instead. She said. Yeah. I was like, oof.
Right. You know.
Speaking of people who are
he's
better
successful
looking
at what
than
he does.
Speaking of people who are better looking than other people, I had lengthy discussions with both. Your better halves.
Yeah.
Last night. You guys both, honestly, outkicked your coverage.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
thank you.
You've looked at yourselves recently, right?
Right place, right time is really what I credit that to.
I imagine they had maybe, I don't know, some issues in the past that they're just downtrodden and just settled, but you caught them at the right time.
Well, on the nose. I mean, nailed it. You got it in one, dude. That was incredible.
Lucky for me.
But I met Caitlin Ford and met Renee,
You talked to her more last night than I did.
Yeah, you weren't around.
Which is a typical night. Other guys talking.
Yeah. More than, specifically Mick.
Yeah, that's weird. And your mom?
They had never talked in person. Good night, but man. Oftentimes, the three of them
stay
will
away
just
from,
have a...
Stay away from Briscoe's family,
please,
Mick. Okay, please do this.
Please
luckily for me, when I first met my now wife, she didn't know that she... needed glasses or contacts. And it wasn't until 2 or 3 years in that she was already felt like she was pot committed at that point.
Yeah, she thought your voice of the Jayhawks, too.
Yes, she she heard your voice and she was like, oh, that must be Brian Haney.
Well, you kept saying, Rock, chalk it up.
He must be as good looking as Brian.
And then she was like, I can't really see, but that looks like Mitch Holthus. And so I'm pretty sure that's a winner.
She wanted a man in radio and wasn't willing to wait for Mitch.
I don't want to wait for somebody who's really successful and does play-by-play. I want to wait for the guy that just talks about the ones that do play-by-play and what they're doing. That's what I'm going to get, I guess. I'll just settle here, okay? Who's the... Oh, you. Fine. It's like 3 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. The bar is closing. You.
It
come
was like
on.
The, it was like the ticket drops. Like, hey, look, if you come by and you just say, I want to be there for the 100 years, we'll just, you know, you can just go home with Jason.
As long as you're willing to stay in Louisville and never take me away from my family and my hometown. As long, that's the only condition.
Yep.
Okay, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Anything you need. Hey, Jason, you want to come back again? Yeah, we're going back. it's up to you, though. I just, I don't know. It's only the only job I've ever wanted in my life. So what do you think about that? I really thought that she was a...
She might have said, well, divorcee is a job that I've considered.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great...
That's right. Really? Because, Cordell and Cordell client is something that I have thought about being my entire life as well. So we can play this game all day, lady.
I love the homespun voice of the Cordell guy.
That's right. We can do all this if you want to do that. Let's really get down in the mud, okay? You don't think I'm going to protect my social media? I ain't moving out of the house.
So you turn into Adam Sandler in fights? Is that what you do?
That's what I do.
It was in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, if Saul Goodman had been cast as Adam Sandler. Yes. That's the character that Jason just birthed.
Because now I'm disarming you when I'm talking like this. You can't really get mad at me when I'm doing all this over here. You don't think I'm serious when I'm discussing these things, even though I've got them on speed dial number one.
Ed Ogeron and Adam Sandler had a love
child. I can't do that
child.
With my voice right now. I won't be able to finish the show.
Like, how do you have no voice?
The first hour.
A lot last night.
Yeah, you were.
His voice was great at the beginning of the show.
My favorite part was when you and Chad got on stage, and then Chad talked for 40 minutes, and you just stood there.
That's what
we kept looking at Jason, and you were like, in the shadows. Look back at Jason. There.
Did you notice my Homer Simpson slowly sliding out of the spotlight as Chad continued to talk and we were both in the spotlight and I'm just slowly sliding just a little bit more, much slower than the Chris Collinsworth slide in, mm-hmm. just a slow to get out of the spotlight to then be standing over in the dark because I'm like, well, you know, this speech is continuing. He said it was going to be 4 or 5 minutes and I told him,
Four or five minutes for everybody is Chad, about 20.
Chad, I can turn that 4 minutes into a 20-minute monologue like that. And then he did it himself, and I thought,
and
I am so proud of you.
And then he was that Usher clip from the Tiny Desk. I am so
proud of you. A single tear rolls down the cheek of like, See, I come by it honestly. He said this was going to be 5 minutes, and 20 minutes later, I'm still standing on stage like Beards going, when are you going to break?
Well, my other favorite part of the night was when Steven said, oh, yeah, they asked me, are you going to do a little song and dance? I told him, well, I can't sing and I can't dance. And then he did a little song and dance.
Then he did an Elvis song, an actual Elvis song with his chest hair out and everything.
Yeah. He ate that up. I was a captive audience.
He did a lot of like pelvic thrusts.
He was thrusting
through like a whole verse. We're like, is it going to stop?
A hunk of burning.
He's got a pelvic thrust for days. Like that's Steven's pelvic thrust stamina is apparently tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually thought my wife was an automated bot when I first because we met on Match.com.
Okay, boy, that was really... You should have said that first. Because the transition that we made there...
It's not as good if I start with the Match.com and thought that. No, it's better if she was an automated bot.
She started the TV show Small Wonder.
That's exactly right. She's a small wonder. That is amazing. She was actually the robot in Rocky. Happy birthday, Polly.
Small Wonder is something else for Jason. Don't worry about it, man.
It's a small wonder that she was able to stay with me all these years.
That was a much larger wonder. Yeah.
No, I sign up for or just create an account on Match.com, and you can browse and peruse. Now people call it Tinder, but at that time there was no Tinder. So you know you can look at different profiles and things like that, but you can't communicate with anybody unless you actually subscribe.
That's why she liked you so much.
So I had created my account, and like 20 minutes later, I get a message from this smoke show, and I thought...
Sex bot.
Exactly. I thought, this is what they do. They send you this. You immediately sign up because you're going, ooh, I definitely want to talk to her, and then it disappears.
They send you a link to their Snapchat.
Exactly. And so, close. Turn the computer off.
Oh, you just ghosted her.
Yeah, because it wasn't real. It wasn't real.
Wow.
She pursued you?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me say that better. She pursued you. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Utter shock.
So I, you're good. It's like when Seren told the story a couple of weeks ago, he went to the doctor and like, your vitals are actually in good shape. He goes, why are you sounding so surprised? What are you talking about? So, a week later, I log back on. I'm like, and there's like 6 or 7 different DMs in there. Yet I'm like, well, this one is the one I would like to talk to. Happened to be her. So I'm like, okay, I'll sign up for like a 1 month trial, right? So I signed up for a 1 month trial just to talk to her. She paid for the subscription just to DM me. True story, because her sister was there. And then the rest is history, as they say. And then 3 years later, she finally got glasses and was able to see for the first time. But I thought she was an automated bot that I'm like, you're not getting, I'm not falling for this. No way. Clicking off this, I am out.
She still might be. This could be like a Truman Show type experience for you.
Is it a Truman Show?
She's an actress.
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
I saw maybe 30 minutes of the Truman Show at like age 13 or something. And I kid you not, I think about that once a week, still, to this day.
I remember I used to think of that. That'd be a good movie idea, and it came out. I'm like, dang it. I should have acted on that.
Why didn't I ask Jim Carrey?
What about
to do
Ed
that?
TV? Was that a good with McConaughey?
Was that similar?
That was Matthew McConaughey when the TV show just followed him around. Yes. He knew he was on TV, like that whole thing.
That had to be after, right? That feels like that had to be after Truman Show. 1999 for Ed TV, 1998 for the Truman Show.
There you go.
Well, I mean, were they both in production at the same time?
I'm sure, but that happens all the time.
But Ed TV was, was being made before Truman Show actually hit the theaters.
Right.
So they would not have seen what the Truman Show was going to look like on the big stage or on the big screen until they ultimately were making Ed TV.
Armageddon and Deep Impact came out the same
year.
That
is true. All those things happened.
The two Wyatt Earp movies came out. Same time, right?
Turner and Hooch and K-9. Ants and a Bug's Life.
One at Tombstone and Wyatt Earp came at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then
Jurassic Park and Jurassic Trail came out right around the same
time.
Two
country singers sang the theme song to Con Air. Leanne Rimes and...
The other one.
The other one.
Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I just play a braggadocio badass on the radio. In real life, I am very humble.
If I ever host a career day.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping things up here in the noon hour. One more hour to go. We got the cuts before the show is over. We'll get you what's on tap coming up as well. Still going to make that whole connection thing, that loose connection between the Chiefs and a game that happened last night. So we'll get into that as well. And then the disrespect that was shown last night, not at the 100-year celebration, but a different gathering for what's going to take place a week from tonight at the KC Current game against L.A. and a halftime media game that will take place on the pitch.
I love my team. Say that. Beard, you love your team?
It's great.
I love my team, too, because I'm not on your team. That's what I told Chad. Like, as long as I'm not on Josh's team when Corey leaves. He's like, well, about that. I was like, but I'm not going to be on his team in soccer, right?
You might want to buy some shin guards, Jason. Spikes up.
I'm going to buy a face mask. I'm going to punch you.